You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us. I used to say good morning, and then I was like, you know, there's those people that listen in the afternoon and on their drive home, and so I switched that to good day because this program airs 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening and on WMIE, and it also airs at 10:30 over on WWBC. And so I hope you're having a great day. And that you are awakening this morning to the reality that God has gifted us another opportunity to bring glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jets Concrete for believing in the Refresh Radio program and wanting to make sure that the Word of God goes throughout Brevard County. We are thankful for what God is doing. God has and continues to bless Merritt Assembly of God, and for that we're very, very thankful. Thankful for the team that he has helped to put in place, and we're believing that 2026 is going to be one of our greatest years that we have ever had. And so if you would continue to join with us in believing for souls, and we're going to be celebrating baby dedications and baptisms and baptisms in the Holy Spirit. We're gonna be seeing a lot of great things in 2026, we believe. So we're thankful for Jits Concrete. If you have a concrete job, they are what I call the experts in all things concrete. They know the different strengths. They know the suppliers. They know the place to get the best prices. They have the tools, they have the experience, the expertise, and the great work ethic to get your job done, get it done well, get it done affordably, and get it done as quickly as they can, and then get out of your way so that you can move forward with your project. So Jits Concrete could be a great resource for you in 2026. 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804, if you have a project on your horizon. Today we're going to return to Psalm 86, where David is praying. I'm going to read four verses for you today, and it says, "O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me." So the first thing that I want to tell you today is that God is not like our enemies. In fact, there's not anyone who is even close to God's capabilities. Please do not make the mistake of assigning blame to God for the things that the devil tries to do in your life and in my life. There's a very simple rule to remember, and that is God is good all the time. and the devil is bad all the time. The devil never has your best interest in mind, and God always has your best interest in mind. And you know, that may look differently than what we think at times, but it is always true. Many people are pursuing happiness when they would be much more happy if they pursued holiness. So the first thing that I can tell you today is that if you've got enemies that you are facing, recognize that God is radically different than what they are. So it says here in verse number 15, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious." And now, that's God. It goes on with a couple of more descriptions. We'll come back to that. Now I want you to listen to how it describes David's enemies. David describes them as proud. Pride is a downfall. It is something that God judges because he hates it. He detests it. He detests pride. He detests pride in spiritual matters. He detests pride in kings. He detests pride in individuals. He detests pride that's based on finances. He detests pride outside of the church. He detests pride inside the church. God opposes the proud. Paul said there's only one thing that I can boast of, and that is I will make my boast in the Lord. That's it. Our flesh will fail. Our finances will fail. Our possessions will not endure. All of the things that attract the world's attention mean absolutely nothing to God. And the things that the world pushes away from are the very things that God longs to see. So a broken and contrite heart will not be despised. So please understand that when the proud rise up against you, that God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So when you realize that, then you can submit yourself to God and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. You've got to remember the sequencing. You got to remember the order. It is submitting to God positions us so that we will be able to successfully resist the devil and he will flee, not us. So there are a few things that we can see here. "The proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life." Okay? So wickedness loves a crowd. Let me rephrase that. Wickedness loves a mob. There's a difference between a crowd and a mob. A mob operates in a terroristic mindset where they try and inflict by sheer numbers, their viewpoint, their will upon others, whether they're in the right or whether they are not. And there's plenty of evidence out there of people who live by mob rule or mob tyranny. In order to be successful in that, all that has to take place is that they are willing to resort to violence. And David describes them as a mob of violent men whose goal was to end his life. Now, here's what I can tell you, is that God knows your beginning and God knows your ending. And I've been in situations where I was surrounded by an angry mob and was helpless to be able to do anything about that. So, you know how we survived that incident? We submitted ourselves to the authority that was in place, that was not part of that mob, and the authority told us what to do. And when we acted upon what that authority said to do, the mob literally parted like the Red Sea and we walked right through. And when that happened, all of a sudden, the passage that talks about in the Gospels where the people had taken Jesus to the edge of the cliff and they were going to throw him off, but it was not his time, nor was that the means by which he was going to die, that it said, and the crowd parted and Jesus walked right through the midst of them. So I'm not saying that we go put ourselves in harm's way. What I am saying is that if there are people who are hostile towards God, and we're going to see that here in this verse, that it's not long when they've turned their back on God that they are going to begin to persecute and afflict the people of God. And I don't be surprised when that happens. Jesus told us, if they hated me, they're going to hate you because you love me. And so these men were seeking David's life. And in verse number 14 concludes this way, and have not set you before them. That means that they had literally turned their back upon God. So here's what I can tell you. If people turn their back on God, if they do not choose to retain the knowledge of God, if they choose to ignore God rather than acknowledge him, then they are going to descend into a mindset of arrogance. And then there will be people who will do what is right in their own eyes. And all of a sudden, it becomes a mob mentality. It becomes people who are motivated by anger and are not afraid to resort to violence. And they begin to look to eliminate any reminders of God or any people of God because they don't want to be confronted with their own wickedness or evil. All of that because a group of people decided to turn their back on God. If you've done that, I'm here to tell you that there is a solution. And the solution is based on this reality. God still loves you. Paul is tremendous evidence that people who take hostile actions against believers can still be saved. He was zealous without personal knowledge. He had head knowledge. He didn't have heart knowledge. When Jesus got a hold of his life, though, it was no timid man that emerged from that. It was a man who was emboldened by the Spirit of God to tell everybody that he could about the goodness of God and the hope that resided within him. So if you find yourself under attack, Psalm 86:15 is a great prayer. Okay? But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion. Remind yourself about the lordship of Almighty God, that he sits upon the throne. And you're his child. If you've asked him to forgive you of your sin and be the Lord of your life, because he shed his blood on the cross and rose again on the third day and then ascended to the right hand of the Father, he's Lord. He's Lord, and you're walking in covenant with him. So it's not like you're facing those enemies alone. You need to remind yourself that you stand with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says you are a God full of compassion, and that's what brought us to this passage, is that God is a God full of compassion, and he's gracious. He gives things to us that we do not deserve. So we've already seen in verse 13 that his mercy is great. Here we see that God is full of compassion. He's moved with compassion, and he is operating towards us in a attitude of favor. It goes on and describes him with two additional characteristics. He is long-suffering. Okay. Now, I tell people I'm allergic to pain. I don't like it. I don't like pain from a splinter. I don't like pain from a paper cut. I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. And because of that, because of the disdain I have for suffering, there are things that I choose not to participate in because they would either damage me physically, spiritually, relationally, financially. They would cause pain and discomfort in my life, and I don't like suffering. So long suffering, however, is not about God suffering long. It is about his patience with us while he is reaching out with hands of love, the arms of compassion, and wanting to provide shelter and protection in our life. And we keep fighting back and fighting back and fighting back. And God continues to be patient with us while he's loving us and we're treating him like an enemy. Or maybe it's not like we treat him like an enemy, but we treat him with complacency. I pray that the fire for God's word would intensify in our life in 2026, that we would be able to say, you know what, I can go with you, I can walk with you through this journey because God's walked with me through a journey before. I remember a time when there was a person and I had this very vivid dream about the spiritual journey into darkness that they were experiencing. And I'm not afraid to proclaim the gospel. I'm not afraid to point out to people when they're walking contrary to the word of God. And God said, I want you to walk with them and be quiet. I want you to be there so that when God, the Holy Spirit, grips their heart and they're ready to ascend out of the destruction and out of the darkness, you'll be there. And I pray that in 2026, that if you've got prodigals in your life, if you've got fractured relationships, that you will not give up. You'll not choose to camp out in the camp of bitterness, but instead you will continue to pray with the patient endurance of the saints. God is not only full of compassion and gracious, but he is also abundant in mercy. Okay. Listen, thank God for his mercy. And there's a lot of people in, you know, who are not wanting to come into alignment with the Word of God, and they think, well, you know, I said that prayer and everything is good, but mercy and grace and God's long suffering are all partnered with the fact that God is abundant in truth. The truth of the matter is, God wants us to change, to become more like Him. He wants to change our heart. When he changes our heart, it will change our mind. And so I pray that when you change your heart and then it changes your mind, it will change your actions. It will change your actions and it will change your reactions. And so I pray that we will treat others with the compassion, the grace, the mercy, the patience, and the truth of God. Verse number 16, "Oh, turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant." And so David says, turn to me. And in reality, God never turns. But we can turn to him. We can turn to him. And he says, give your strength to your servant. Now, folks, this is one of the greatest promises that I think we can have. If you go with me to the gym, I get there on occasion, not as much as I should. But if you go in there and I go in there with my youth pastor, he's going to be able to lift things that I can't lift. He wants to lift things that I have no desire to lift. But what is happening here in this verse, in this prayer of David, is not that the strength of one of David's mighty men would show up. But he is asking God to bestow upon him, to manifest in his life, the strength of God. And here's the thing about the strength of God. It is beyond any metric. The only thing that you can say about the strength of God is that he is omnipotent and that he is almighty. There's nothing too hard for him. There is no burden too heavy for him. And he says, God, while these ungodly, arrogant, violent mob of men are trying to destroy me, in your compassion and mercy and grace and patience, God, would you give me strength because I serve you? I serve you. Here's the thing that many people don't really focus on too much when it comes to the servants and the parable of the talents, is that those servants had, they didn't just, you know, the master just didn't walk up to them one day and say, you know, I like you a little better than I like you. I'm going to give you 10. I'm going to give you 5. I'm going to give you 1. That's just the way it's going to be. He gave them all the same assignment, but the reason that the one who was given 5 could gain 5 more, and the one who could was, well, let me do it, 10, 5, and 1. The one who was given 10 could gain 10 more. The one who was given 5 could gain 5 more, and the one who was given 1 didn't gain anything, is because they had been not only bestowed with talents, but they had been trained by the master. It was his resources. It was his trust in them because he had trained them in his business. So they got to employ his strategy. The reason that the guy with 1 talent was corrected is because the master said, you should have done this because you said you knew me. You knew me. So We're coming down to the end of the program here. And I want you to know that whatever you're facing today, God can give you the strength. But it's about us serving him. He says, save the son of your maidservant. Verse number 17, I'm going to try and wrap up Psalm 86 today. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed. I pray that God manifests so wonderfully and gloriously and powerfully in your life that people who are rooting for your destruction and rooting for your failure, that they would see for themselves firsthand that God is doing great and mighty things. That it's not about you. It's about the one that we serve. It's not about me. It's about the one that we serve. And he says, that they may see it and be ashamed, because, Lord, you have helped me and comforted me. That word helped means that you have come to help. One of the names for God the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete, and that is, he is the one who is called alongside to help. So when he shows up to help, he shows up as an expert. So let him help you from his position of divinity, from his position of deity, from his position of expertise. Let him help you. And it says that he will also comfort you. That's what David said, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. If you feel like you're under attack today, please do what David did. Call upon God. Ask him to fortify you and strengthen you. Ask him to come and help you. And that word comfort, I was actually surprised when I saw this, because I'd never seen this in terms of the Old Testament before. You see it multiple times in the New Testament. We'll talk about that more in weeks to come. But it means, God, you have shown up and had compassion on me. You've been moved with compassion to bring me comfort. And I don't think that we're just talking about, you know, that we're going around and we never experience anything challenging. I think what was happening was there was comfort there, that David had been in the fight of his life, and God showed up and said, I'm more powerful than your enemies are. You're not going to always be living in a war zone. Let me bring you into my arms. Let me shelter you and protect you and care for you. I am the lover of your soul. You have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.